Amen. Praise the Lord. There is nothing better than Jesus. Amen. Nothing better than what he's doing in our lives. Nothing better than his salvation. Nothing better than his grace in us. Nothing better than the new person he's created out of whoever that old person used to be, right? Like, there is nothing better than being changed by Christ, by being made brand new, by living in the forgiveness that only Jesus can bring. Amen? There is nothing better than what God has for us. I am so excited for us to be able to continue on in the series that we have been doing this month on forgiveness and extending forgiveness to others around us. And the 2 weeks ago, we came together and we talked about how it is that sometimes unforgiveness can control us and actually keep us from things that God is wanting to lead us into. But then we followed up last week by talking about how forgiveness isn't fair, right? And that we ought to praise God every single day for the fact that forgiveness isn't fair, because that means that Jesus forgave us even though we didn't deserve it. And so because he did that for us, now he has empowered us through his grace to be able to forgive others as well. Now today we get to take another step in this journey of forgiveness, where we are going to look into why it is that we are holding on sometimes to our unforgiveness and what it is that might cost us. There are tremendous benefits to forgiving others that we get to receive, but today what I want to talk about is the potential cost of living in our unforgiveness and how that can impact our lives as well. What I'd like to do as we get started, I want to read for you out of Matthew chapter 6, a few verses that are actually part of what most people refer to as the Lord's Prayer. It's actually the disciples' prayer that the Lord taught them to pray. But I just want to read a few verses out of that and then a couple of follow-up verses there. So we're going to start in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 12. And so if you have your Bibles with you, I'd love for you to turn there, or you can just follow on the screen here. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 12 and going down through verse 15. And so again, it's a little weird to jump in because we're jumping into the middle of the prayer here, but I just wanted to really focus on these verses here today. So again, Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray, and he says there in verse 12, "And forgive our debts." Again, this is the prayer the disciples would be praying to the Father. "And forgive our debts, as we also forgive our debtors." Now, debt and sin are equivalent here. Verse 13, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive," now this is Jesus speaking to his disciples, giving instruction about the prayer that he just led them through. Verse 14, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Pray with me. God, we thank you for the opportunity to hear from you and to hear from your word today. Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth would be yours, God, that your message alone would be proclaimed in this place, and that you would help us all, Father, to receive from you. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would even now begin stirring things up in our hearts, God, that we might be able to respond by faith in obedience to you, according to your word and for your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In verse 12, again, which is sort of an odd way to jump into, you know, the middle of this prayer here, Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray, and he tells them, he says, that part of their prayer ought to include, that their conversation to God should include, "Forgive us of our debts, our sins, as we also have forgiven those who have sinned against us, our debtors." And I think it's important for us to recognize that even in this prayer, there is a direct connection between our sins and our debts, which are held against God, or which could be held by God, let me say it that way, there's a direct connection between our sins and the sins of those against us, right? Many times, I think we try to think that somehow these are two very different things. These are two very unconnected things. That my sin before God is usually thought of in a lesser lesser of an influence. In other words, like my sin against God doesn't hurt him as bad as someone else's sin against me, right? Yet the truth of the matter is that the consequences of our sin before God are actually more detrimental, if you will, than the consequences of someone else's sin against us. All I want to say in regard to verse 12 is that we have to recognize that there is a direct connection between how it is that God has spoken into our lives regarding our sin and the way that we speak into others' lives in regard to their sin. Now then, we get down to verses 14 and 15, and this is where Jesus begins teaching his disciples about the prayer that they just prayed. And I find it interesting that, like, you could even go back to verses 9 and 10 and 11 and everything, and there's some good stuff in there that Jesus could have followed up on, right? He could have gone on a whole dissertation about God being our Father, and he's our only Father. In fact, he mentions that other places in Scripture, right? And that he is our provider. He could have gone into all that. He didn't do that, right? He could have talked about what it means for the kingdom to come and for the will of God to be done. He could have gone into that, but he didn't. The one verse, the one part that he highlighted was this idea of the connection between our sins before God and other people's sins before us. And so after he teaches them how to pray, he follows up here in verses 14 and 15 to say that if we do not forgive others, we will not be forgiven. And I know this can be a hard truth to handle. And I know this can kind of be, my mom used to always say, it can kind of be a hard pill to swallow, right? Because in some ways it almost feels like, okay, if somebody did me wrong, and now I've already been hurt once, you can even say, depending on what the offense was, I've already been victimized once, and now you're telling me if I don't forgive, that, like, I can't be saved? That, like, I can't go to heaven? Right? Because that in essence, what we're saying here then, what Jesus is saying, again, I want to be clear here, this is not just my opinion, this is what God's word says, right? In essence, what Jesus is telling his disciples is that if we do not forgive others, we are destined to hell. And sometimes, particularly when we've been hurt particularly badly, sometimes that feels like we are being victimized all over again. Almost like we were punished by the person who offended us, and now we are being punished again by God. Why would God condemn us in that way when we didn't do anything wrong to start with? Yet, Jesus said very clearly and more than once that if we do not forgive, we will not be forgiven. I could have here pulled in the parable that Jesus taught about the unmerciful servant, right, who went before his master. He had this huge debt. The master forgave it, right? That servant then goes and goes to a fellow servant who owes him pennies on the dollar, right? And the servant loses his mind, throws the other guy in jail and everything. And they're like, wait, hold on a second. The master just forgave you all this, and you can't forgive somebody else, right? Like, again, there's a direct connection between how God has forgiven us and the forgiveness that we need to extend to others. What I find interesting, sandwiched between these verses of verse 12 and verses 14 and 15, is verse 13. And many times I'll just personalize this for myself. I don't know that I have always made this the connection that verse 13 had anything to do with verse 12 or verses 14 and 15 directly. I've always just thought of it as, like, that's sort of its own standalone thing there. But I think it's important that we recognize how verse 13 actually impacts verses 12, 14, and 15 as well. See, the truth of the matter is that the devil is real. Amen, Pastor. He sure is. That's all right. I know I'm preaching good enough to amen myself. If you're not there yet, you catch up when you can, all right? We know the devil is real, and we have an enemy that is seeking to steal and to kill and to destroy our lives. We do. And you might be at a point in your faith where it's hard for you to believe that. It's hard for you to understand that, and you might not really know how to process that, and that's okay. Like, we'll keep working with you, and we'll keep praying for you, but I just need you to know, like, there is an enemy that is seeking to destroy your life. And his primary tool, in fact, the Bible refers to his language, is lying. His native tongue is lying, right? That's how he works. It is in deception, right? And so when we read in verse 13, where Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray, and part of their prayer ought to include, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, we need to recognize that the evil one is at work in this business of forgiveness. Amen, Pastor. The evil one is at work in the business of forgiveness. And I'll show you how this happens, because it shows up in so many different ways, but let me show you how this works here. Something will happen to you in your life, right? An offense of some kind, right? Something will happen to you. You will be hurt, and that will create a feeling inside of you, right? And as soon as you have that feeling, like almost immediately as the feeling is happening, there are already influences that are coming into our minds that are beginning to interpret what that feeling means. And so we, almost immediately when we have this feeling, there are voices, if you will, there are people that we've heard from, there are influences, whether it be God's word or the latest news station or whatever it is that you're getting, maybe friends or family members or whatever. As soon as you have that feeling, then there are words and messages that begin to come to your head to tell you what that feeling means. Now, God is leading us. We know this, even if by no other means through the last couple of weeks here, we know that God is leading us to forgiveness through the teaching and example of Jesus Christ, right? We learned even just last week that it is not a matter of, like, if we're following Jesus, it's not a matter of living life in a way that is fair. We praise God for the fact that he wasn't fair to us, because then that means that we don't have to be condemned to the punishment that we deserve, which is hell, but that we get to, by his grace and through our faith in him, we get to be set free and made new, and we get to live not only eternally with him forever, but we get to live with him now and be made whole and restored and brand new. Like, we get all of those things, right? Like, praise God for that. But so we know that God is leading us to forgiveness, which gives us freedom, yet at the very same time, the devil is tempting us with lies to believe otherwise, right? So the devil will say things to us like, well, if you forgive that person, you're basically saying that what they did was all right, right? The devil will lie to you and make you think, oh, well, if you just gain or regain some sort of power over this person by never forgiving them, well, then you'll be in the place of authority over them. You'll be able to get even with them by holding this power over them. The devil will try to convince you that if you win, you will feel better, right? The devil will try to convince you that you can just forgive that person later. Maybe some other day. The devil will convince you that you just need more time before you forgive. He'll try to convince you, he'll lie to you to tell you that God won't forgive them if you don't forgive them. So maybe they'll get what they deserve, right? The problem is that none of this is actually true. And none of this is the voice of God. So when we hear that deceptiveness, when we have a feeling and then the devil begins to come in and interpret what that feeling means and leads us down this path, what we're doing is we are succumbing to the temptation of the messages of the devil, and we're actually submitting ourselves to the mission of the devil rather than submitting ourselves to the mission of Christ. So what we are doing when we harbor that unforgiveness is we're actually aligning ourselves with the mission of Satan in our lives. And I know, like, as you say it out loud, it's like, oh, well, that's not what I'm trying to do. I know it's not what you're trying to do, but that ain't keeping you from doing it. And again, I get it. Like, this is a hard teaching. I remember the disciples telling Jesus that, like, I get, this is a hard teaching. How are we supposed to do all this? I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying that through the grace of Jesus Christ, you are able to live free in Jesus. You are able to let go. You are able to get everything that God has for you, but you can't be there and be here at the same time. You can't do it. You've got to decide where you're going to be. See, if we aren't careful, we may end up reorienting our lives. And hear this now. We may end up reorienting our lives not even around the point of offense, but simply around the lies that the enemy has fed us. Think about that. Like, it's not even about what happened anymore. It's just the fact that we had a feeling, the enemy lied to us, we held on to that as truth, and then we're so bound in that, not the offense, but in the lie that we were given. We have invested so much in that lie that now for us to go back to Jesus and to go back to the Jesus way of forgiveness and letting go, now to go back to that seems almost impossible because we have sort of staked our lives on this thing that is actually not true. It becomes so difficult to move on from that. That's why, even as I talk about forgiveness right now, for those of you who have a situation in your life that you are thinking about that is hard for you to forgive, that is why this is such an emotional subject for you to talk about. Because it almost seems impossible to do it any other way. Because you have built your life around the fact that this lie is actually true. So then what do we do about that, right? If we're not careful, we may find ourselves submitting to the word of the devil instead of the word of God. Because I promise you, the words of the enemy, while they're not true, they're gonna sound a lot easier than the words of God. The words of the enemy are not true. But they're going to sound a whole lot easier than the option that the Lord has for you. Let me illustrate for you how else this might look. Turn with me to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11 and starting verse 22. Mark 11, starting verse 22. And I'm going to read verses 22 through 25. And so it says, Mark chapter 11, starting verse 22. By the way, just a little context here. Jesus has just, there was a fig tree that did not produce fruit, and so Jesus withered the tree, basically. The tree died from the roots. It was crazy. We pick up, like, the conversation about this in verse 22. Jesus says, "Have faith in God. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you of your sins." Now, I want you to get this here, because sometimes I think we can read over verses like this, and we can think like, oh, that's really cool for somebody else, right? Like, oh, man, I bet there are some really faithful people that are part of this church that, man, I'd sure love to be around when their faith moves a mountain, Right? Like, that would be really cool. Maybe I could get a picture of it and put it on Instagram, right? Like, that'd be awesome. But I want you to hear what Jesus is saying, because it is not just to a select few, I don't believe, right? So Jesus has given his followers the power through his authority. Okay, let's recognize the authority is never ours, right? The authority belongs to Jesus, but he has given his followers the power through his authority to call the miraculous into being. Now, for some, I'll take a step back here just to make sure that y'all know what I'm saying and what I'm not saying. For some, you might hear that and think, oh, well, you know, pastor's gone like, you know, name it, claim it, gospel kind of thing. Like, oh, Lamborghini in the name of Jesus, right? Like, I'm not, please hear me. That's not what I'm saying, all right? But what I am saying is that God responds to the faith of his people. Amen. That was well timed there. Thank you. I appreciate not having to do that myself. Like, God responds to the faith of his people. And the way that I understand scripture here, I don't think that Jesus is just talking about a select few here. I believe that according to what he said here, even in where was the I lost all my place here. Verse 24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Part of what Jesus is getting at here and the miracles that can be manifested in our lives are just as we pray by faith in the name of Jesus, God the Father will respond on our behalf and on behalf of those that we are interceding with. Like you just need to know, like, that can happen through you. And you, I know as you sit here today, you would probably tell me, oh, well, yeah, God answered. Answers prayer, that is miraculous. That is not normal. That is not natural to this world. Like things don't just happen because people ask the president for it to happen. They don't just happen because you ask the governor or the mayor. No, it happens because Jesus is involved and the Father says, yes, that is a miracle of God. And it might not be a Lamborghini, and it doesn't have to, but it might be a life change. It might be somebody that was dead in their sin and is alive in Christ now. It might be somebody who was sick and is now healed. And we need to understand that that is through the power of prayer that happens. Amen? All right. Let me catch my breath here now. So when I say that Jesus has given his followers the power through his authority to call the miraculous into being, like, I just want you to understand what that means, right? So that comes in prayer by faith in Jesus, of whom holds all power in his hands, right? And when God answers those prayers, that is the miraculous being manifested in our lives. And for us to belittle that is stealing glory from who God is and what he has done and is doing in our lives. Now, the only thing mentioned here that will keep us from seeing the miraculous around our lives is unforgiveness. And I need you to hold the weight of that for just a moment. Like, I realized, like, it was 5 seconds ago you found out that your prayers can bring about the miraculous in your life and other people's. Maybe that's a new idea for you, and maybe that seems, like, so overwhelming. Like, I don't know if God's answering my prayers like that. Like, there might be a couple of people that he's listening to, but surely not me. I just want you to know, like, if you dare to pray by faith, like, God dares to answer, right? Yet the only thing that will keep us from being able to do that, as listed here, is unforgiveness. Do you understand how detrimental unforgiveness can be? And again, let me reiterate here. That is not to say that the hurt that you have means nothing to God. It is not to say that what you went through, doesn't mean something, that it didn't wound you deeply. It doesn't mean that you aren't hurt from that and that you don't need to heal from that. It doesn't mean that at all. All that it means is that what God has for you is greater than what that is. It doesn't mean this is nothing. It means this is better. And so we can let go of this in order that we can have all that God has for us, right? As soon as we let go of offense, we get to go on the offensive in the name of Jesus. We get to intercede on behalf of other people. Like, once we let go of that forgiveness issue, we then get to sort of march on the front lines of the army of God in order that God might answer our prayers and seeing miracles happen around us. But until we let go of that offense, there is no other way to say it but that we are submitting to the devil and to his lies in our lives. And we will not be saved. Not only does holding on to offense keep us from the miracle-working power of Jesus now, but it will also keep us from spending eternity with God forever. It's just not worth it. Again, I want to be clear. I'm not saying that what happened to you here means nothing. It's just not worth everything that Jesus has for you there. It's just not worth it. It hurts. And as I've mentioned even last month in the sermon series there, like, there are some things that happen to you here that if you need, some of us really need to talk to like a professional counselor to be able to find some healing in this. Like, we need to do some deep biblical study to be able to see how God is healing us even through his word and everything. Like, that is not to say that this means nothing. It doesn't mean, oh, you should just get over it and be fine. You should just ignore that it ever happened. Just pretend like nothing ever happened. No, it happened. Jesus is not telling you to pretend like it never happened. He's just saying that what God has for you here is so much better than what that's holding back from you. So much better. So much more. So much victory. There is just defeat. Here is victory in life. There is death. What Jesus is asking us is to let go of that which is holding us back in order that we can embrace everything that he is taking us into. I want to go ahead and invite the worship team on back up. And as they come, again, I just want to reiterate the fact that I want to be very clear with you that forgiveness is not about dismissing pain. Forgiveness is not about forgetting. Forgiveness is not about pretending. Forgiveness is not about just putting on a happy face. Forgiveness is about letting go of offense in such a way that you can actually embrace everything that Jesus has for you. And he has great things for you. And the problem is that if we don't grab on to those things that Jesus has for us, we may very well find ourselves in hell itself because we held on to this unforgiveness. Jesus is telling you today to trade your yesterday for eternity, to trade your hurt for his healing. And if we are going to be saved by grace through faith in God, then we must forgive others of their sins against us. Otherwise, we will not be forgiven of our sins, and there is no other way around it. There's just not. So here's what I want you to do. Everyone stand with me, please. As we move into a time of response here. We're going to sing a couple of songs, and Pastor David will lead us through all that and everything. But I have to imagine that there are some people that are struggling with this today, and I've probably been struggling with this for the last few weeks. And so what I want you to do is, after we begin to sing, I'm going to come right down here in the front, and I just want you to come down. I just want to pray with you, and it's not going to be prayer that everybody hears. What I want you to do is I just want you to come and line up in the front here. Just face the platform. You don't have to turn around and face anybody else. And I'm just going to come along behind you. I'm going to place a hand on your back, and I'm just going to pray for you. I'm going to intercede on your behalf. I just want you to know today that as far as I know, I am not holding unforgiveness from anyone. What that means is that I believe that my prayers actually bring miracle-working power, and I'm going to be praying miracle-working power in your life, that God will change you from the inside out, that the power and authority that comes from Jesus Christ alone is going to be able to work in you to bring you to a place of forgiveness and healing and wholeness, and to be able to embrace everything that God has for you. So as we start singing, I want to invite you to come. Don't wait. Come on now and let God work in you even now. Amen? Come on, join me up here. Yes.